Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is one of those Gospels that you could preach on for at least 4 to 5 weeks. There is just so much happening. So much wonderful things that are happening. And yet, we always seem to be drawn to Thomas. Poor old Thomas. Well, we are again today. So, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. But what comes to mind when I read this gospel is seeing is believing. Okay? There's all kinds of sayings like that around. If you're, you know, what was Missouri is the show me state. I think they even have that on the license plate or what did once. So seeing really is believing. And, you know, in all fairness, that's me. That's me. I mean, as I've gotten older, there are things that you literally take on faith when people tell you different things. But at least growing up and learning, I'm a visual guy. I want to see these things. I mean, as much as I struggle with technology every now and then, the number of times where I get something that I have to put together and I read the instructions, and I'm sitting there scratching my head. I got all the parts lined up and all the tools lined up. And what do? I run in and I get on my computer and I Google how to put it together. And there's usually a video and it pops up and I'll drink a cup of coffee or two and I'll watch that video over and over and over again until the concept of what this thing is supposed to look like and how it goes together is fully in my brain. And then I go out and tackle it. I don't know if that was something that my father ever saw in me or ever really knew, but I do believe that's one of the reasons why when I didn't have anything to do working with my dad, when I had everything done I needed to have done, my second and most important job was always to be watching him. I was not to be looking out the window, you know, wondering about that wood lot or that crop, that, you know, that crop of corn, or worse yet, working on a lake and wondering if I could be fishing rather than working. I was to be over his shoulder watching because somewhere along the line he realized that's how I learn. And I did. And I learned well. So, you know, I'm a visual guy. And the reason why I'm drawn to Thomas is because I can't say that I would have reacted any differently. I mean, put yourself in Thomas's shoes. He is crushed. That was his Lord that was crucified too. And all of a sudden, he enters a room, and all of the men and all of the women are saying, "We have seen the Lord." Well, without being too sarcastic, the first thing that would come to mind to me is, when did the party start? Okay, and sorry I'm late. Because evidently, you know, where are you getting this from? And in this response, which is important, that had to be a very, 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 shall we say, tense week between visits for the disciples, because when Thomas says, "I will not believe unless," in a very, very soft, roundabout way, he's basically calling them all a liar, that they don't know what they're talking about, that they didn't see it because he didn't see it. He needed to see it. And when you stop and think about it, it's really not unreasonable because all he wanted is what everybody else had. He wanted that. He wanted to see it happen. He wanted to see Jesus, just like all the rest. So as the story is told, Jesus accommodates him. He comes again with the doors closed, a second time, says, "Peace be with you," and says, "Thomas, come here. We need to fix this. Here is my hand. Here is my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas, in response, hits the nail right on the head, whereas even the other disciples, it's not said that they did, because his response is, "My Lord and my God." Thomas got it. He had to see him to get it, but he got it. He got it real well. Now, some may wonder why it was so important that Thomas was a part of this physical, visual meeting with Jesus. And it's not written as to why, but I can elaborate on the results. And the results was, is whether their ministry took them out to preach, Whether or not we read about their ministry yet today, they were all of one mind, on one page, with one purpose. So if one wasn't out preaching, they didn't want the one preaching, and then running over and says, is what he says the truth? Did it really happen? He wanted them all on one mind, on one page. And in doing so, those who did go out and strongly go out, whose preaching and whose ministry and whose journey are given to us in the book of Acts and in the epistles and in the letters, they were supported by the community that knew Christ rose. They were solid in their firm faith that Jesus crucified did rise, that through Christ God defeated death for them and for each and every person that would hear this wonderful message. That was the boldness in their preaching. Preaching that we probably have never heard before and we never will again, that could boldly go out and convince those hearing that this happened. As Peter said, he stands before the Pharisees and being accused of putting Jesus' blood on their hands. Well, his blood was on their hands. But so powerful is this message, so powerful is this gift, that it cannot be confined by your laws, but we must obey God to put it out. And it was that strength in ministry that brought people to believe. That seed of faith planted by our Heavenly Father was watered and nurtured through that type of preaching, the power out there, that for all those that didn't see, yet they believe. Because Jesus was leaving, and this word needed to have that type of credibility, that kind of strength, and that kind of power behind it, so that those that heard it would heed it and believe it. Those that didn't see. Who are those people? They're you and they're me. Each one of us comes to church. Our sense of faith and how we look at it may differ just a little bit, but we are one in mind in the belief and the faith in a risen Christ. In that belief and that faith that in and through Christ that our sins are forgiven, and as he rose in death, so will we. And yet we haven't seen, but yet we have come to believe. We are the blessed of God. Just like children and people all over the world who have come to understand and know Christ present, know Christ crucified, know Christ risen without ever seeing it, but feeling it and hearing it in the words that we still read today and the power and the preaching of the apostles and those that have come after. We hear, seal it, feel it, and see it in the actions between one another. We are blessed, truly blessed, that this gift of faith has been given to each and every one of us. We're God's children. And in and through this great blessing becomes that gift of eternal life in him. It's yours. Know that today. Know that this gift is yours. Know that the ones that Jesus talks about, blessed be the ones who have not seen and yet believe. Know that it is you who does this. And then we take this great gift and we heed the words of our Lord. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. With such a wonderful gift that empowers our life, that focuses us on God, on Christ, on the Holy Spirit, we walk out and we live lives that emulate this great gift of God, and in doing so, share it with all. That where the seed of faith is planted by God, that in turn, like the apostles before us, we nurture that seed and we help it to grow. But make no mistake, That seed exists in each and every one of you. That's why you're here. Might be a little different because we're different. But of one mind in a crucified, risen Lord. Believing it. Living it. Sharing it. Blessed by it. May you go forth today knowing that you are chosen, that you are blessed, and in this blessing becomes that promise that we were given so long ago in a risen Lord. Amen.